That'll be $1.3 billion. Poverty, they've already got the men working, so they got to continue, and that'll be $2.1 billion. Well, anyway, it adds up that they'll ask for about $20 billion. And over half of it'll be Vietnam. And the other 10 will be like school bill and poverty bill and higher education bill and matters of that kind. Now, I have just got them cutting the beat of hell every cabinet officer, and they cut out between $3 and $4 billion. But when you go to look in the budget, $120 to $125 billion, the moment that word gets out to anybody, that interest rate's going up, because they're going to say, hell, we've got inflation, and maybe some of them think we've got to have control. So that's why I played aluminum and copper and wheat so tough. That's why I threatened to veto the civilian pay bill. That's why I threatened the steel workers, told them they couldn't go. That's why the dock strike the same way. That's why the machinist strike. And I've held all those to guideposts. They lie and say he hadn't done anything against labor. But labor, productivity and wages are 100.6 tenths of the 57-59 average. So their increases have not been in excess of their productivity since 57-59 average, except by 0.6%. Now prices are up 1.6. So the foodstuffs largely and the metals have been the ones doing it. And they believe in supply and demand, so aluminum, we had to use 200,000 extra tons on account of Vietnam this year. The Defense Department will buy about 325 to 400, but 200 of it increased. So I told them, before we placed an order for that 200, we've been trying to get rid of this stockpile 6 long years. These sons of bitches won't talk to us. They just tell us to go to hell. So they went in a meeting this year, and in October they sat down and told our people that they would not buy it, they could not buy it, that we had to keep this stockpile, $4 billion, aluminum, copper, everything else, and pay interest on it. We couldn't use it when we had it scarce, that we'd ship it in from France, and preference let us use our own. And then this arrogant bastard named Hickman Harper was gone, the president of the aluminum company. He's in Texas and a pretty good fella, but he was in Japan. Hickman said, if you don't take what I tell you, I'll go out and beat you over the head with the press. Well, you imagine what he'd do if he told Huey Long or Russell Long that kind of threat, and you imagine what he did to Lyndon Johnson. Well, I just told him to kick him in the balls and cut his peter off and put it in our pocket. And that's what we did. And we just said, we're going to put in every defense contract that this 200,000 tons has got to come from our stockpile. Now, we got a right to sell as well as they have. And if they up to capacity, and we importing 100 million from France, there's no reason why we can't sell our own. We're free to buy and free to sell.
Well, I think you're right about that, Mr. President. I think you did the right thing.
So we did.
Since we produced a lot of it down here, I just didn't say much about it one way or the other.
Oh, I know that. I know that. And I didn't blame you. I saw what you said, and I didn't even call you. I thought you were right. But they're happy now. They got a better deal than they thought they'd get. They're very happy. They got mad and canceled out my page in the Democratic book. The aluminum people did. And as soon as they made the deal, they bought the whole stockpile. They went back and bought the book and said they're happy now. Buford Ellington told me yesterday, they said they got a better deal than they wanted, and they're happy as they can be. But it had to have somebody to speak for all the people.
Well, you're doing that, Mr. President, and we're strong for you here. And things are moving along pretty good in this state, too. I think we're going to be all right come the next election.
How y'all getting along on your Tidelands compromise with Katzenbach?
Well, I think it's a good thing there, you know, is you released a certain amount to them, about $35 million that from some areas that government said, well, they didn't really think that that was there. They had thought that any eventual settlement, they would let that go. So they did that, and that kind of, so this thing just kind of kick along here, I'd say, for another year or two. But of course, if they let the court decide, I assume the court's going to decide against Louisiana, but at least we got the $35 million, so that helps.
Well,
everybody feels
I was kind of hoping
about it. But frankly, most folks don't understand it and don't get upset about it much one way or the other. They saw whether they've got a windfall. The guys who follow the governor, of course, the police see him getting some money in the pot. And the guys who are not for him don't want him to have anything anyhow.
Is he doing any better by us? Is he?
The fellow's a good, he's a cagey politician. He's smart and he's popular with the people, but he's not the kind of guy who's going to stick his neck out for somebody else. He just don't do it. But he does say some, he gives a U.S. administration a breakdown and says something kind of here and there. So on balance, you're a lot better off with him than you are with most of these other southern governors. In other words, he's a moderate on the race issue and tried to keep the, tell people that you've got to learn to live with this integration business. And he gets along well with that. I mean, his popularity rating is good.
Russell, you and Fowler agree on what you all want. Stay out of the newspapers on it. Get your heads together or you'll be a real Pat Harrison, a real power. And you all don't move, don't comment on anything to anybody without talking to him and tell him not to do it and not to let the president do it till you know what the hell it is. And if you don't agree with it, you want a chance to be heard. Then when we move, when we release that foot brake, and we move, by God, we'll move like a bulldozer.
Well, fine. Anything that gives lower interest rates, I'm for it.
Well, I mean on everything, though. I want you to be the right kind of chairman, just like you were a leader this year. But the Jack Bells and the rest of them will be around to see you every hour. And you say, well, I'm giving thought to that. I'm considering that. I'm looking into that. And you get your program up and what you got, what you think's good. And you sit around there with lunch with Fowler and whoever he's got. And it ain't worth a damn bit of good to you to have all the influence in the world of Congress and not have any of the Secretary of Treasury. A good chairman of the Finance Committee has got to have the Secretary of Treasury in his hip pocket. And the Secretary's got to have the chairman. So y'all are both reasonable and fair, and he knows that, and he likes you, and you just give him your views, and you get his, and you all get in agreement before you come to me. Then you come to me, and when we all get in agreement, we start with that old D8 Caterpillar, and by God, we'll go right on through.
Well, fine. Well, you know, Mr. President, I'll go the extra mile to agree with you, even if I don't. And try to see it your way and try to see it his way. But I would like to be consulted about these things before the report concluded. And I do appreciate you consulting me about this matter. And Henry, tell me about it before you make a move on this particular problem.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Good. God bless you.
Waiting.